Hello and welcome to Food for the Future podcast, broadcasting live from the World Food Forum headquarters in Rome, Italy. I'm Alexandra, your host, and today we have a truly special guest joining us, Pumehana, an indigenous artist and healer from unceded Chinook territory, also known as Portland, Oregon. Through her multidisciplinary artistry, Pumehana bridges the wisdom of her Hawaiian, Maori, and Chinook heritage with modern healing practices, fostering a space for both individual and community transformation. At the World Food Forum's youth opening ceremony, Pumehana captivated the audience with her performance of a hula that celebrates a deep love for Hawaiian land. She selected this piece to honor indigenous food sovereignty and emphasize the essential role of relevance for the land in collective healing. In this episode, Pumehana will share her journey, the inspiration behind her work, and how her cultural roots fuel her vision for healing and sustainability. Through her act and advocacy, she invites us to reconsider our relationship with the land, food, and each other. Let's dive into inspiring conversation with Pumehana. So Pumehana, thank you one more time for being here with us. We are super grateful to have you here at World Food Forum flagship event. And first, I would like to hear more about you, if you could introduce yourself, but also we would like to know, how does your music, which blends traditional Aboriginal culture with modern influences, reflect the importance of preserving Indigenous knowledge in agri-food systems and sustainable practices?
Aloha mai, my name is Pumehana. It's so such a wonderful opportunity to be here in Rome and to be sitting here with you. So thank you for that honor. And my name is Pumehana. I'm a mixed indigenous artist and healer from Portland, Oregon. I'm currently based in Los Angeles, California, but I grew up in unceded Chinook territory, which is part of which is Portland, Oregon. My mom is Chinook native and my father is Kanaka Maoli or Hawaiian, Maori, and my identity and my journey with my relationship to indigeneity has played a big role in how I approach my art and what my art means to me. And it's interesting, like, being here at the World Food Forum, because I very much have a potent history and my own relationship to food and the cultural aspects of food, and finding the bridge where that and my music or my art comes in is really interesting. I think a lot of my music as an individual and as a duo, I'm also part of an indie R&B duo called Sugar Spell with my best friend Zoe Lika, who's also indigenous. And a lot of our music is about processing, you know, maybe we're talking about relationships or spirituality and all of these things. But I do find the thread exists because a lot of our content around spirituality is also very much tied to the land. And my relationship to spirituality would not exist without the land and the connection to the land, which ultimately, you can't have food and agricultural systems without the land. And some people might find that to be a stretch, but I really do feel like it is all connected. And when we talk about indigenous spirituality, we're always coming back to the land. And in ceremony, in different ceremonies that I've had the honor to be a part of, to support and to organize from different cultural lenses, food is always the way that we commune at the end, you know? And it is the food that often kind of ties ceremony up in a bow, you know, because it is a celebration or an honoring of the work that we did, of the prayer that we put forth. And yeah, a lot of my music is inspired by that process in itself and ceremony. And sometimes I'll get to sing in ceremony and all these things. So it's a bit of a web, you know, how I see it in my mind, but that web exists and it's why we're all here, you know, because we're all connected by these basic human needs, one of which being, you know, food, water, shelter, and community. So, yeah.
Well, it's great to see your reflection of how do you connect food with your music. We would also like to know, in what ways do you see arts, especially music, as a powerful tool of raising awareness about challenges facing indigenous community in relation to food security and sustainability.
Mm. Well, something that I actually heard someone say at the opening ceremony was here at FAO was how, you know, we're coming from such an international community that's gathering, and we're discussing politics, we're discussing heavy stuff a lot of times because everybody's coming in with their own biases, their own, and then even just as individuals with our own biases and traumas and things that we're passionate about. And I do feel like the arts is something that is culturally across the board, something that can be communicated. It doesn't matter if we speak the same language or not, if we dance together, if we're listening to music together, that energy is felt regardless if we can communicate that explicitly. And I really feel that art can be a vessel for that connection that is needed for Indigenous folks to be able to advocate for our needs, for the struggles that are happening all across the world in different ways, to connect on a human level in order to break those walls down and get our messages across. So it's not the only thing. I think when I think of like how change happens, there's lots of different roles. We need people on the ground, and we need activists. We need change makers, people to propose policy. We need all these different moving parts. And we also need storytellers. We need people to communicate what's going on to everybody. And also, like, you know, generations, it's an indigenous tradition to pass down stories. And to your point, like, I think that in itself can play a big role in how we advocate indigenous food security, sustainability, and also sustainability and security impacts everybody. Exactly. It doesn't just impact indigenous people. So all the time, it's like folks who maybe don't experience the hardship of the impact of non-sustainability or not having enough resources, a lot of time we don't realize that impacts everybody. Like, that's not exclusive to Indigenous communities, but Indigenous communities are the original wisdom keepers of how to keep that sustainability alive. And without that knowledge and without that wisdom, we might be a little bit lost, you know? So it's important that we have all those different roles in play, and that regardless of whether it's through art or otherwise, that Indigenous people have the platform, and not just the platform, but to be received in advocating for these kinds of things.
Oh, amazing. Thank you. Thank you for your answer. And so as you consider yourself as a storyteller through your art, through your music, so as an artist from an Indigenous community, how do you think your unique cultural perspective can contribute to global discussion at the World Food Forum about sustainability and sustainable food systems and environmental? How do you think you can reflect that in this event?
It's kind of mind-blowing to think about it, because I don't consider myself an expert in Indigenous food systems or Indigenous agriculture, which I truthfully has been a bit of a mental block in my presence here, because I'm like, oh, there's all these experts and, you know, so many people who this is like their thing. And I've come to terms with, I might not be an expert in these specific topics, but I am an expert in my own experience. And I've been really blessed to get to see how Indigenous culture plays a role in food, and how we get to partake, and the sustainability systems that are in place for that to remain. I keep thinking about my grandparents on my mom's side. My grandpa is not native, but he was a fisherman, and my grandma, who was native, like, it became a whole family thing, you know, for us to go fishing and come together, prep everything. And I didn't realize growing up that that wasn't necessarily normal for, you know, everybody. But as I got older and started to understand Indigenous food systems, and just the importance of food and Indigenous culture, I realized that that was special, and that was a part of my experience that gave me permission to celebrate that. Another angle of that, though, too, is, like, growing up at my mom's, like, we didn't have a lot of money. And so my whole upbringing, we didn't have a dining room table, you know, and my mom wasn't much of a cook. And, you know, my mom's amazing. She did her, you know, everything that she could with the tools that she had in the moment. But now I have such a deep appreciation for, like, sitting around a table and sharing food with people. And I think that that is, at its root, a very, like, traditional practice. Like I was saying earlier, with, like, ending ceremony or ending any kind of big event with food, because it's a celebration. And so even though there was, like, dissonance there in that part of my upbringing, it's something that I really cherish now. And I'll never miss out on an opportunity to, like, sit around a table with friends or family and eat, because there's something so special about that. Like, here we are nourishing our bodies. This is something that came from the land, or it came from an animal which eats from the land. Like, there's just such a beautiful cyclical web where just taking one bite of something, there's so much that went into that bite, you know. Or even if going to eat out at a restaurant, there's somebody in the kitchen making that, where they got the products, who harvested the greens or the fruit before that. There's just so much at play. And I think especially in the United States, we're very, like, disconnected from the process of eating, and a lot of things were, like, on the go, eating very fast, and we don't think about all those things.
Yeah.
But Indigenous culture, especially in North America, and I have some Lakota relatives who have really taught me a lot about this, is, like, the importance of acknowledging and praying for every part of that process. The hands that prepared it, the hands that got us the ingredients, the land that was nourished in order to get us the ingredients. So, you know, there's a lot that runs through my mind when you bring that up, but ultimately, when I zoom out, it's like, it's the web, you know, and that a lot of our Indigenous systems of knowledge are built on this web of connectivity, and that we are also part of the land. We don't own it. It's not just there. It's a living being, and we are also in community with it and the Mother Earth, and she feeds us, and that's beautiful.
I would have to add one more additional question. Sure. For you. Is there any advice that you would like to give to artists who are willing to, as you said, storytell their story and try to reshape agri-food systems? Is there any advice you would like to give them?
I would say to anybody, whether you consider yourself an artist or not, I think we're all capable of art and of storytelling, even if we don't consider ourselves to be, is to just speak your truth, you know, and what you are seeing, and that music, whether it be music or visual art, dance, theater, whatever it is that you feel called to, that your truth or your story has a space. And there's lots of beautiful opportunities to take the lens of a food, our relationship to food, maybe how our relationship to food was shaped by our family, whether positive or negative, however you consider it, that there's so much that other people can gain by hearing your story. That's where the value lies, is that exchange of connection.
That concludes today's episode of the Food for the Future podcast. For more updates from the World Food Forum, follow us on social media and visit our website at world-food-forum.com.